This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up, San Diego? Come on in and kick it with us this 5 o'clock hour. Here with you for about two more hours. Taking you through the rest of the sports evening at this point. Lakers down 3, 16-13 to the Bucks in the first quarter as they get the ball rolling here. Chris Ello. Matt Scraby, all with me today. And, Chris, Lake Show getting their first test today, my man.
Oh, they got a big test from the Bulls earlier this season. Come on. I'm kidding you. This is a game, you know, it's funny. When you're the Lakers, you go through the season differently than every other team in basketball. I mean, you know, I think the notion is you try to get up for every game and you play as hard as you can, but I know Jordan and stuff, when he was having those great Bulls years, used to think to himself, I got to play well tonight because there might be some, you know, the old thinking that there'd be somebody in the stands who's never seen me play before and I don't want to turn in a bad performance, that type of motivation. But, you know, LeBron James and Anthony Davis and those guys, they can't even use that as motivation this year because there's nobody in the stands. So I think the Lakers have done a pretty good job so far of getting off to a really good start. Now their talent just takes care of a lot of it, but you still got to show up and play hard and do the things necessary to win basketball games. But there's no question when you're the NBA champs, you know, you look at a game like Milwaukee and you circle it on the calendar a little bit. I mean, it's you only get that big time challenge, you know, two or three times a month. You know, Brooklyn's on the schedule or Milwaukee's on the schedule or Denver or the Clippers at the beginning of the year. So, you know, I definitely think you do. And you know, it's interesting that it's a 7-game road trip. They kind of get the toughest one right at the beginning of it. But the Bucks, to me, it's a bigger deal for the Bucks. I mean, they got to find a way to prove to themselves that they can not just compete but beat these top teams, because come playoff time, I mean, the Bucks are going on, you know, back-to-back years now with home court advantage and the MVP of the league on their side and coming up short in the postseason. Now, last year was a little different story playing in the bubble, but they went out early as far as a number one seed is concerned. So
the Bucks are very much in the same position as the Clippers. Like, nothing they do in the regular season really matters at this point. It's everything that they do in the playoffs that will define how good their season.
But I think you can figure out a lot of things in those regular season games against the top teams.
No doubt.
You know, when the Bucks are playing the Magic, that doesn't mean anything. Or the Bucks are playing, you know, the Pelicans, or, yeah, whoever it is. But when they're playing the Lakers, you know, and the Nets beat them the other night. I mean, that's a big deal to the Bucks, and I think that this game is, I'm not going to bet on it, and it's too late to bet on it, and I wouldn't bet, you know, unless Scraby made me do it in the Daily Gambit. But I would say the Bucks have more to gain tonight by far than the Lakers do.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it.
All right, we'll see.
That's our NBA little take for 5 o'clock. But I want to get back to the subject that seemingly has you a little perturbed today, and that is the Eagles decided today that they had found their guy. And when I say their guy, their new head coach, remember they fired Doug Peterson, what was it, a couple days ago, over the last week? Is that when that
Yeah,
when
a week
that
or so
happened?
Ago. Yeah.
Well, they bring in a coach by the name of Nick Sirianni. Am I saying that right?
I'm going to say Sirianni, but I'm not. I wouldn't bet on it. I don't know. I've never heard of the guy before. You know, this isn't Nick Sirianni's fault. Let's start by saying that. I mean, he's 39 years old, working in the NFL. He's been an offensive coordinator for the Colts. He's been a quarterback's coach and worked in a lot of different organizations. He's worked his way up, and I'm sure he's very excited to get this opportunity. But, Tony, I don't pull this card very often doing our talk show because I like to focus on the present. But I've been doing the talk show one way or another now for over 20 years in San Diego. And I honestly have had this same conversation with my co-host or with phone callers or with interviewers for the last 20 years. This isn't just this off season.
Right.
This is just another off season where every head coaching job in the NFL doesn't go to an African American coach. And it's just another one. This isn't anything new. I've seen this act so many times before, and I've seen it for so long. And, Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the Eagles, says it behooves us as a team to really get Carson Wentz back to that elite progression. So what? We have to hire a guy who was, the Colts coordinator for a couple of seasons? Why can't you hire the guy who was the Chiefs coordinator for a couple of seasons to help get Carson Wentz back to that elite progression? And I don't know. I mean, I'm reading the story, and it's, as I said earlier, it's the same old names that pop up. You know, Deuce Staley, Todd Bowles. Bienemy, they never got around to interviewing because he's still alive from the AFC Championship game. But there just seems like it's like they interview a couple of black candidates and then they go, okay, we did what we're supposed to do, but it's still the, good old white boys club, and we're going to bring in another young white head coach because that's what we want to do. The NFL rolls on.
Yeah. The interesting thing to me, I saw a report today that said Hugh Jackson's in the running for the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive coordinator job. It does seem like even in terms of the black coaches that they interview, that it's like the same guys. Like, I'm having a hard time figuring out that it's not that there's no more qualified individuals in the NFL completely. Like,
no, there's only like four guys that are even qualified to get an interview.
That's crazy to me.
That
kind of, to me, gives some insight into, why Roger Goodell was trying to, did they end up implementing some rule, right, where you get compensated for it, for having
they did
guys.
It was a Rooney Rule addition, and the 49ers actually got 2 third-round picks in 2021. And then in 2022 for Robert Saleh going to the Jets.
Because he was a coordinator on their staff that became a head coach.
Yeah, and he's a Lebanese Muslim American.
Right. First Muslim American to ever take the helm as head coach.
And it's almost as if the NFL looks back at you and goes, see, we did something.
Right, right.
And you're like, no, you didn't. You didn't do enough. You didn't do anywhere near as enough. And it's just...
At this point, it's really just all on the NFL to make a change, because as you mentioned, you've been talking about it for 20 years. I know I haven't been in the business that long, but I feel like we've discussed it every year at the same time on this show. So at this point, it's just, I'm not surprised, and maybe that's why I'm not as disappointed, because I almost just expected it, and that's sad in itself at this point, but. It's certainly, just when you feel like the NFL is starting to do better, then this kind of pops up again, and it's really just another realization that they still got a long way to go, too.
Yeah. I mean, you've got a pretty good starting black quarterback there in Philadelphia, by the way, Mr. Lurie, and his name is Jalen Hurts.
Well, remember, that's why
Let's not totally forget about him. I mean, you're just dismissing him and saying, well, we got to bring in a guy that can get Carson Wentz back. I mean, that, to me, is a little bit of an outlandish statement in it, to be honest with you.
But you know what, though? That was part of the reason why he fired Doug Peterson. at least that's what was reported, was that Doug Peterson was like, Carson Wentz is no longer the starting quarterback, and the owner, Larry, was like, yes, he is, so you're gone, I'll bring in somebody that will do it. So it's not a surprise to hear him say he wants to get Carson Wentz back to the MVP form. That ship may have sailed. We'll find out next year, because it sounds like he's going to get another shot at it. I think we have some sound from Eric Bieniemy earlier today. Here it is.
Do you feel that since you've kind of become the face of this whole coaching search, if you will, you know, just especially nationally, do you feel any regret or remorse that it's come to the fact that you're kind of the face of this?
You know what, Harold? Here's the thing. It's always good to be mentioned and having an opportunity to pursue your dreams. And obviously, yes, I do want to be a head coach. But when it's all said and done with, my job is to make sure everything that we're doing right now is not to take away from the goals that we're trying to accomplish. The only thing that matters today, we got better. Okay, today we had an opportunity to make sure we can take care of situational football as far as short yardage, goal line, and our third down situations. So now it's time for us to go back in and chop wood, watch this tape, and get ready for the next day. We want to make sure that we're getting our guys ready to make sure they can take care of business on Sunday. My own personal business, when all that's time to take care of itself, that will take care of itself, Harold. But thank you.
Because
it sounds like a guy who's had to answer that question many times.
He's had to answer it a lot of times, and I disagree with the fact that when it comes to my own personal situation, that will take care of itself, because it hasn't taken care of itself. So I hate to say it, Eric, but it hasn't taken care of itself. You're still a coordinator and one of the best coordinators in the entire NFL, of the Super Bowl champs, team that may win the Super Bowl again. And yet people are dying to run out and hire Nick Sirianni. As Scraby pointed out, it's not like Sirianni or Dan Campbell, who was introduced today as the Detroit Lions coach.
That's a whole other thing going on over
or
there.
Arthur Smith, who was hired by the Falcons. It's not like any of these guys were in so much demand that you better hurry up and sign them and hire them before somebody else steals them away. Right. You could have waited, you know, to at least bring Bieniemy in for a visit. So
I think the Rooney Rule addition that was meant to help this was completely backwards. Why? Because it goes for GMs too. If a team loses an employee in their front office and they go to another team and get hired as a GM, then they also get some third round picks. But why would the team losing the person get the picks? It makes no sense to me. Like, if they want to get people in positions on other teams, then they should give the team who hires that person a pick.
No, it's an incentive to that team, because it's like you had a minority in your organization that you boosted up, that got him an opportunity to be a coach, and they want more teams to keep doing that.
So development over.
And the minority guys didn't want this rule to be put in because they didn't want to make it look like they were only being hired so teams would benefit from the rule.
Right.
So I don't know. You mentioned Hugh Jackson. I mentioned Todd Bowles. You know, I'd be very surprised if either of these guys get another opportunity, because we've talked about this before as well, Tony. The African-American head coaches don't get a second chance. They don't get to be a retread. They don't get an opportunity again. Marvin Lewis is another one. You get one chance, and if it doesn't go that well, that's the end of it. But if you're a white head coach and it doesn't go that well, you're likely to get a handful of opportunities. So there's so many different situations where the NFL just falls short on this, and it's basically laughable, to be honest with you, the problem that they have here. And yet I don't want to say they don't do anything about it. It seems like they try to do something about it, but ultimately it only amounts to lip service, and that's just that's just tremendously disappointing.
Last thing on it, I mentioned it yesterday. You can't even blame Roger Goodell. I mean, he's doing everything he can at this point to try to change not only the narrative, but to change the actual process in which guys are hired. And ultimately, his bosses are the ones that make that final decision, and that's the owner. So that's where the blame falls. It doesn't fall on anybody else. It doesn't fall on the league. It falls on these owners. So hopefully they can get this rectified soon. All right, let's get to break. When we come back, we'll continue with the NFL. We got some great games in the NFL playoffs over the weekend. Does Brian Baldinger think the young guys can handle the pressure? He'll answer that question next. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. And now, here's the Fan's traffic report from the Valley View Casino and Hotel Traffic Center. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Arrow, Matt Scraby here with you. And we got some big games coming up this weekend, and nobody better to bring in than Radio.com NFL Insider Brian Baldinger. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insight the sports books don't want you to see. Get smarter, beat the books, download the BetQL app, or visit BetQL.com today. You can also hear Brian and Jason Lockenfora on Baldy's Breakdowns, with new episodes out twice a week. Just search Baldy wherever you find your podcast. Brian, thank you for joining us today. I want to get right to it, because in San Diego yesterday, a lot of people were sad. Phillip Rivers decides to hang it up, and it sparked a big debate down here in San Diego on whether or not Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer. Now, I think you are more than qualified to answer that question. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I mean, look, Jim Kelly's in the Hall of Fame. He never won a Super Bowl. He did get to four with Buffalo. We know that Phillip Rivers, you know, in the postseason didn't have a great record. But I think there's a lot of qualifications for the Hall of Fame. If you started 240 straight games in a row, you know, second only Brett Favre, I mean, I think that counts for something. I think when you lead your team for 17 years, you know, with San Diego, Los Angeles, Indianapolis, I think that counts for something. I think when you play as many games and you play as well as he did over the years, I think that counts for a lot. And, you know, sometimes winning Super Bowls or getting to Super Bowls is a lot more than just a quarterback. Yeah. And so I think that when you look back on Phillip Rivers' career, I don't think there's any choice but to put him in the Hall of Fame. And, I mean, Dan Fouts is in the Hall of Fame, and probably rightfully so, under those Don Coryell offenses and all the things that he did. And I think Phillip Rivers should be right there next to him as, you know, as a great Charger.
We're all in agreement about that here on this show. We had a few Denver Broncos fans calling, at least one Denver Broncos fan that wanted to point out he had a losing record against their team. So it depends on where you're viewing everything. If you think Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer, Brian Baldinger here with us on 97.3 The Fan, Gwynn and Chris. I want to stay with these quarterbacks, because all reports say Drew Brees is most likely going to retire. So that means you got Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees, Eli Manning, maybe Big Ben soon. And it makes me think about the future of the league, because the league is a quarterback league. Do you think the NFL is in good hands with the quarterbacks that we have going forward?
Well, I mean, if you look at, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen this weekend, you know, wherever Deshaun Watson plays next year, and you look at some of these guys that are coming up, you know, the way Baker Mayfield played this year, you know, certainly we're going to see, you know, Lawrence coming in this year, Trevor Lawrence coming in this year. You know, it's always, we've always seen, you know, out with the old, in with the new. We saw it with, you know, John Elway and, you know, Dan Marino and Jim Kelly, and, you know, we've always seen it. And so, look, the fact is that even when this was just a 12-team league, there wasn't enough good quarterbacks. So there's always going to be a carousel. There's always going to be a couple teams that are looking for quarterbacks, and it's going to drive free agency. It's going to drive trades, and it's certainly going to drive the draft every year.
Now, Brian, let's talk about these games this weekend. You got a big time showdown in the AFC. Josh Allen is playing some really good football. Hopefully, the Kansas City Chiefs will have Patrick Mahomes. But watching that game last week, it seemed like the Ravens gave Josh Allen a little trouble when they did blitz him. How do you see the Chiefs attacking Josh Allen in this game this weekend?
Well, they played week six, and Josh Allen dropped back that day to throw it 27 times, and Steve Spagnuolo blitzed him 14 times, and it was pretty effective. You know, I mean, they had 10 points on the board until the final minute of the game when they got a garbage time touchdown, but it affected him. And now, look, he was the 12th rated quarterback against the blitz this year, five or more rushers coming at him. And he was the 12th rated quarterback. I mean, that's not terrible, but it's not at the top of the charts. It's, you know, it's not Aaron Rodgers good. So he's going to get tested, but, you know, his mechanics are good. He keeps his eyes down the field. He extends plays well. But it bothered him some last week. They didn't blitz him a lot in that first half, surprisingly. But still, at the end of the day, You know, they scored 10 points. So, you know, that's not really enough. And they had 10 for the most part against the Chiefs. And so his worst game of the season was against the Chiefs, week 6. So he's going to see the blitz on Sunday night. There's no doubt about it. And how he handles it probably will determine the outcome of this game.
I'm starting to get a little pumped up about that game. You know how it builds throughout the week, but that's going to be a fun one on Sunday. And I actually want to talk about your Twitter, Brian, because I appreciate all the breakdowns that you do. It's at BaldyNFL.
Yeah.
How do you – I just want to know, how do you go through the process of finding what you want to talk about? Because I find it interesting that the small details that you point out in your videos –
Well, not just because, you know, we're in a COVID world and we're all, you know, trying to practice safe distancing, but that's the world I've always lived in the film room since I got done playing. And I spent an inordinate amount of time in a dark room by myself on the third floor at NFL Films. And I mostly just tried to entertain myself for 14 or 16 hours a day. Now, I've got a lot of responsibilities at the NFL Network and Sky Sports in London and, you know, some of the outlets I work for, but mostly I'm just see things that if I think it's interesting, then I'm going to see if it's I'll float it out there on one of my breakdowns and see if it's interesting to you. I know the players follow, you know, I mean, they all follow. I'm Jalen Ramsey. I mean, most of them follow what I put out there. They like to know that somebody else really knows what they're talking about. But
right.
I think some of it is just some of it is quirky. Some of it is to teach. Some of it is to show the right way to do something. Some of it is to show the deficiencies in a scheme or an effort or something. So it really falls under a lot of categories. But generally, I'm just trying to entertain myself. And I hope that by doing that, I'm also doing it for the audience that's out there.
Brian, let me ask you this, because obviously there's another big matchup in the NFC. You got Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers facing off against one another. What in particular are you looking at in this game? Because both offenses seem to be rolling pretty well. You got two Hall of Fame type quarterbacks. What are you looking for in this particular game?
Well, I'm looking at a bunch of things, but I'll narrow it down to two. I thought that what the Bucs did to the Saints last week, now they benefited from 4 takeaways, no question about it. But I thought the Bucs' offensive line, including Aaron Stinney making his first start at right guard, the rookie Tristan Wirfs pitched a no-hitter against Cam Jordan. And I think the Saints are a much better defense than the Packers at every level, from scheme to talent to, you know, from position to position. I think they're a better defense. And really, the offensive line, they were outstanding against the Saints. They ran the ball well. They protected Tom Brady in the first game, week 6 against Green Bay. They had a very good game against them. So that's one aspect. And then secondly, you know, Aaron Rodgers all year long, he's so comfortable in his offense. But one of the reasons why is almost on any given play, he's got options of what to do. He might have a toss play to the left, Aaron Jones, but he might have a screen to the right to Davante Adams. He might have an inside zone to Jamal Williams, or he might have a go route, you know, to Alan Lazard. Like, he's got options. And I think he really loves making those decisions at the line of scrimmage based on what the defense has given him. And so, you know, one of the guys he's got to really control is Devin White for the Bucs, because if you don't get him blocked in the run game, he'll make every single tackle. He did last week against the Saints. He's really – if I had to start a defense right now, I'd start my defense around Devin White. So those are a couple of things that I'm really looking at in this game.
Brian Baldinger, Radio.com, NFL Insider, with us on Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. I brought this up yesterday, and I was firmly and swiftly told no by the guys, because Tom Brady, if he makes it to the Super Bowl, this is going to be his 10th trip in 21 seasons, so that makes it 48% of the time Tom Brady's getting to the Super Bowl. And my argument is that might be the best, most difficult feat in sports. Where on your list does it rank to a Super Bowl in sports, like getting to a World Series or an NBA Finals? How difficult do you think out of our American sports it is for the Super Bowl, for someone to get there so many times?
Well, I mean, I think it's incredibly difficult. I mean, you had to go through New Orleans to get there. You know, New Orleans thumped them pretty good during the regular season twice, go on the road to beat them like that. It's incredibly difficult. incredibly. And so, you know, I mean, even in some of the you know, beating up on, you know, Peyton Manning and all the people that had to beat up on to do it in New England, to do it in the most recent Super Bowl 52 3 years ago with a team and to beat the MVP of the league, you know, and Matt Ryan. And, you know, and I think it's really difficult. And he just keeps finding a way. And look, it's 10 trips to the Super Bowl if they win on Sunday in 55 Super Bowls. So since the history of when this whole thing started in 1967, he's got 10 of them. He's got, you know, he's got 20% of the Super Bowls.
That's crazy. So, that's crazy.
I just don't believe we'll ever see anything like it ever again.
Well, Brian, as always, we certainly appreciate you coming on and giving us your brilliant breakdowns. Enjoy the games over the weekend, and hopefully we can catch up again soon.
My pleasure, guys. Enjoy yourself. Take care. It's going to be a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Indeed. That was Radio.com NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, Insider Calls. Presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real, proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. You can also hear Brian with Jason LaConfora on Baldy's Breakdowns. With new episode out twice a week, just search Baldy wherever you find your podcast. All part of a tough first hour for your man T. Gwynn right there.
Sounded good, man.
I thought it sounded good.
I couldn't say.
Scraby's questions were a little silly, but you sounded fine.
Wait, why are mine silly? It's all things we talked about yesterday.
Because I'm trying to take care of my man, Tony Gwynn Jr.
No, Tony, you're being too hard on yourself today.
A little bit.
I like a clean, get out, get in. Just clean. It wasn't clean. Not saying I was horrible, but I wasn't clean today.
Well,
at least Jason in that first hour.
Jason LaConfora.
My partner showed up. All of a sudden, you know, he made his teammates a little bit better. I cleaned up my act a little bit. So that's all I was saying.
So if Chris was here, you wouldn't have said Jason LaConfora? I'm such
chances are, I'd probably still say that if Chris is here. So. That's a good point.
Yeah, that's a tough one under any circumstances. All right, let's take a little break here at the bottom of the hour when we come back. God, you talk about something that isn't going smoothly.
Speak for yourself.
The Daily Gambit.
Speak for yourself.
Mike, what do you mean speak for myself? You had the same picks I did
last night. I don't know about that. Remember, I was a contrarian yesterday.
God, I am just I may never gamble again if this segment continues. Which is kind of the way I was before this segment even started. But we'll do the Daily Gambit when we come back. We'll catch up on the Lakers and the Bucks also. When we return, it's Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. on 97.3 The Fan.
5:38 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, taking you through your Thursday evening. Getting you set for your Friday. Friday is my favorite day. You guys remember
Giannis
what's going
is
on?
Out there throwing elbows trying to knock the Lakers out.
Literally.
What's up with
him?
He got
hit with a tough flagrant foul there, but as a Laker fan, I'll take it.
You'll take it.
5:38, as I said on the clock, and this is our segment in which we give you a little Daily Gambit. Before we do that, however, this hour is brought to you by the Auto Club of Southern California. Looking to save money on auto insurance? It's easy. Get your free quote at AAA.com/insurance. You can save even more when you bundle your homeowner's or renter's policy, too. Visit AAA.com/insurance for today for a free quote. Scrape.
Yeah.
Do we have some traffic to get to?
We sure do.
Ready to roll?
Yes, we do.
Well, why don't we go ahead and check some of that traffic. Here's the Van's traffic report from the Valley View Casino and Hotel Traffic Center.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwynn and Chris go through the top bets of the day in the Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, Tony, have you seen the Daily Gambit yet? Or the Daily Gambit. The Queen's Gambit is what I meant to say.
What was it? What was the actual thing you
The Queen's Gambit. It's on Netflix.
I have not seen that.
Okay. That's where this name came from. Chris came up with it. Great name. I love that show, actually. The Queen's Gambit, for some reason, really, really got to me. I've watched it twice now. I'm not kidding. It's really crazy.
Check it out.
It's really crazy. But we're going to do some betting today, and Chris kind of teased it that he had a bad night betting. Well, I wouldn't call my night that bad. I went 2 for 3, but we'll get into that in just a second. I wanted to start with a tweet because I've been asking people to give me bets that they want us to talk about. And at DevinBomb79, good listener to the show. Appreciate him reaching out. He said, at Matt Scraby, which is where you can reach out on Twitter and Instagram, the Cavs versus Nets game would have been a great Scraby special with the motivated Cavs players who were traded from the Nets, Allen and Prince, because the Cavs were plus 400. The Cavs did go on to win. Great call, Devin. I should have, if we had our Daily Gambit segment earlier in the show, I may have done that one. That's the only reason I didn't pick it, but that's exactly what we're looking for here on the Scraby special. So thank you, Devin, for reaching out. And thank you for,
with due respect, and I do appreciate Devin being a good listener to the show, but everybody is 100% at gambling after the game is over. I got
to
be honest.
I'll give it to Devin. Dude, he didn't send that to me until the game wasn't over yet.
He sent that to you before the game was over?
Yes, he did.
Okay. In that case, nice call, Devin.
Yes, very nice call, Devin. So... if anyone wants to give us bets that they want to hear about, make sure that they are the games start about 6 o'clock or later, and then we can talk about them. Prop bets, spreads, all that good stuff. At Matt Scraby, at Chris LOSD, at Tony Gwynn Jr., and at the station account 97.3 The Fan SD. We're gonna start with the Mountain West. We always do a Mountain West bet if we have one, and today's bet would be last night's bet was Boise State. Favored by 14.5 points over Fresno State. Currently, at that time, 96% of people were betting on Boise State. And we all took Fresno State. Boise State won 73-51 and covered by a lot. So they had full 10 points.
You don't win anything for this, but Fresno State was ahead by 2 at halftime, and I was feeling very good about that.
Yeah, if we got the first half line, then we could
have been 14.5 points and a 2-point halftime lead. I don't know what Justin Hudson said to his guys at halftime, but it didn't work. So don't say that next time, Justin.
Yeah. That's a tough one. Yeah,
got routed in the second half.
14.5 points, like we said yesterday, that is a lot of points and
you got the lead at halftime, plus 14 points. You're like, man, this is gravy.
Yeah, that is. That's a tough one.
Didn't work.
Isn't that what they call it's not a bad beat because it wasn't a terrible loss.
The other one,
second.
The next game's a bad beat.
Okay, the next game would have been
the
Rockets at home, underdogs. So they're getting 5.5 points. They're playing the Suns, and both Chris and Tony took the Rockets. 56% of the people took the Suns. I was a contrarian and took the Suns. And the Suns won 109-103. And the Suns cover by 6 points, by 0.5 points, basically. So yes. I win that point.
A point on a last-second layup that the Rockets just gave to them because the game was over.
That's a bad beat. That's a bad beat right there.
It was 107-103. The Rockets missed a shot. The Suns came down and actually took a layup to go ahead and win by 6 and beat the spread.
I did see this on Twitter, and I threw my arms in the air when I saw the final score because I was going to lose that one. So
yes, you should have lost that one.
Yeah.
Should have, would have. You did win. So
yeah.
This is why I can't stand the Daily Gambit. I mean, stuff like that just drives me crazy. That's why I stopped gambling a long time ago.
And the Scraby special for yesterday, which is the Scraby special, I got to say, I'm going to go back and do some stats on this, but I think I've done
Scraby
pretty...
Scraby special's been hot lately.
It has been hot. Kawhi Leonard, I said yesterday, would have over 2.5 three-pointers made. He was plus 140. Well, Kawhi Leonard had 3 threes last night, barely getting the over. He hit his third three with 9:57 left in the third quarter. Tony said under.
You won handily.
Chris won the bet
with a quarter and a half left to go in the game.
Well, I know, but I wanted him to have like 8 threes just so I could be like, ha-ha, he made 8.
You don't care. You win, you win, man. Don't, right. don't. You know what? I got to teach you how to win because
right,
you,
dude.
there's part of being a good, you know, gambler is being able to accept winning properly.
Right.
And huh? right. And to be mad at yourself cuz you didn't win by enough is just totally the wrong attitude.
It's so scraby, though. It's so scraby.
Oh, I didn't win by enough.
I won money, but I'm going to be mad because I didn't win it by a whole bunch.
As the casino that's booking your bet, scraby,
yeah?
Go ahead. I'm not going to pay you then. You didn't win by enough. Sorry.
But I won the bet, so.
No, you didn't. Apparently not. You're not happy. You don't win. Yeah, I'll keep your money.
I'll keep your money.
Yeah. So you're going to learn to just accept a win and be, you know, just confidently take your win and move on to the next one.
All right, well, let's get to today's bets. We have a NBA game, we have an NCAA basketball game, we have a couple prop bets. The first one we'll talk about is a Pac-12 matchup between UCLA and Cal. UCLA is favored by 9. Cal is at home. 61% of the public is taking UCLA. BetQL is taking Cal. Chris, what say you?
Well, I've had it with BetQL, at least for now. I mean, the only thing I can say is if I bet against BetQL, they'll probably finally win. But I can tell you, Cal is really not very good at all. I mean, just absolutely awful. Got blown out by Pepperdine earlier this season. UCLA beat Pepperdine down here in San Diego. So I'm going to go with UCLA. I hate giving 9.5 points, but I'm going to go with UCLA, and I'm going to go against these BetQL people until they can prove me wrong because they've just been in a horrendous slump.
Yes, and BetQL sponsors Brian Baldinger, so please.
Well, I'm not trying to knock them. I'm just stating the facts, right, Tone? I mean,
they've had a rough go of it.
Yeah, they've had a rough go. But what do you say, Tony? UCLA or Cal? And UCLA is favored by 9.
I'm saying UCLA is winning this game, and it'll probably be by more than 9.
Are you going to be happy if they win by like 14? Is that going to be enough for you?
All they have to do is win by 9.
9 will be enough.
9
will be enough for me. Yeah, 9 will be enough.
Well, I'm going to be the contrarian again, and I'm going to go Cal just because it's more fun that way. The NBA game for tonight is.
Do you want to repeat that pick again, please? I want to hear you say that you want to be the contrarian. I want to hear how you said that.
I want to be a contrarian, so I'm going to go.
No, you sang that.
I want to be a contrarian.
That's what you said, yes.
That
should make for a very nice little piece for an open segment one of these
days.
You know
indeed.
What? Anytime stuff
it's
that
about
you
time
guys...
you make fun of yourself in an open for a change.
I get enough.
Yeah, because I sound like a complete idiot in our new open
some
right
of them.
There.
You just try to make it sound so bad. So I think you should put that you singing the I Want to Be a Contrarian line in there.
Yeah, too bad. My name doesn't have a place in the open, so.
You could squeeze it in there.
I can squeeze it in there. The NBA bet for tonight, there's only 3 NBA games going on. There's one right now. The Lakers are beating the Bucks 59-57 just before 60, halftime. 60-57. Anthony Davis made a free throw. But the Knicks are taking on the Warriors up in San Francisco in Chase Center. The Warriors are favored by 5. BetQL is saying take the Knicks at +5.
Oh, my God.
52% of the public are taking the Warriors. So this one is a pretty split bet. BetQL is saying take Knicks. Public at 52% is saying take Warriors. So we can't take any hints from them. Tony, you're up first one. Warriors or Knicks?
I'm going to take the Knicks. I'm going to go with QL on this one. The Warriors have had a tendency this year to play down to the level of their competition. And the Knicks have actually played some decent ball this year, and I think they may come in expecting to get the regular old Knicks, and I could see the Knicks hanging tight. So I'm taking the Knicks.
Okay. Chris?
Well, I'm going against BetQL again. I'll take the Warriors.
You're going to be a contrarian.
I'm not going to be. I'm just going to go ahead and take the Warriors.
Ooh, I'm stuck now. I'm stuck now. I can't.
Yes,
bet.
You can't be a contrarian. You have to join. You have to go with either Tony or myself.
Steph Curry's been playing pretty good lately.
Oh, you'll take the Warriors. You're a Bay Area.
Yeah, but I can't. Really but I can't. I can't because you can't bet with your heart. You got to bet with your mind.
Yeah.
Well, what do you know that would make you bet with your mind against the Warriors?
Nothing. I'm going with the Warriors, and now we can move on. So Chris and I took the Warriors. Tony took the Knicks. Now the prop bet, and then the Scraby special. Mike Conley of the Jazz. This one was a juicy number. It said +132. So you bet $100 and you win $132. If Mike Conley goes over 3.5 rebounds, he's averaging 4 rebounds this year. So this is kind of an oddity for odds, and that's why BetQL found it. I will say that he goes under 3.5 rebounds, Chris.
Mike Conley is a good rebounding guard. Who are they playing?
I have it. Hold on.
Does it matter?
Pelicans.
He plays for the Jazz?
Yes.
Yeah, he'll go over. The Jazz are playing well. Conley's a good rebounding guard. He gets 4 rebounds.
All right. Tony, what do you say?
I think he'll go over as well.
Okay. Mike
Conley. Oh, my God. That makes Scraby the what, Scraby?
The contrarian. Do I need a sounder for my contrarianness?
I think you very well may need
I don't believe that word has ever been used in the history of sports talk shows until the last couple of days.
I love to make history, and that's what I'm doing with my words.
I love Total Divas.
I love to make history.
I love Total Divas.
Man, that was a long time ago. I'll never forget, though. Chris said Barry Manilow Christmas Edition was his guilty pleasure, his top guilty pleasure.
Yes, anyway. It was.
Scraby Special, which I got right yesterday, got right the day before. This one, I'm going to stick with the three-pointers since I had such good luck on it last night. And this bet is at +148, so you bet 100, you can make 148, and that is to have Julius Randle of the Knicks over 1.5 three-pointers made tonight against the Warriors. And just for some background, he's already made 2 threes 9 times this season. So Scraby Special means that I am going to go with it, so I will say he at least hits 2 threes. Tony.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you, Scrape. I think he hits 2 as well. He's improved his perimeter shooting this year, and I think he's eager to at least get up at least 2 or 3 of them in this game. So I'm going to go with 2. I'm going to say he's going to get over the 1.5 mark.
Chris?
I can't. If I say the word contrarian, I'm going to beat myself over.
You're a contrarian!
Just for that reason, I'm going to agree with both of you, so there is no contrarian.
Aw, no fun.
Sorry. I like your Scraby Special. It's been hot lately.
It is.
It
is. Okay. Well, that's it for tonight. For the Daily Gambit. Thank you, everyone.
Very good. Very good. We'll see how we do tomorrow. Gosh, I don't think I've ever hit more than 1 in a single night. So we'll hope that maybe tonight we can turn it around. Lakers, by the way, have a 6-point lead over the Bucks at halftime, 63-57. Lakers shooting 50% from the arc. 10 for 20. Yeah, Bucks shooting 55% from the floor, but only 38% from the arc, Tony. This is what we talked about the last couple of weeks with the NBA. The Lakers have taken almost half of their shots tonight from the three-point arc, while the Bucks have only taken 1 out of every 4 shots from the three-point arc. And the Lakers are shooting such a better percentage from three that even though the Bucks have a better shooting percentage in the game, the Lakers are winning. I mean, I don't want to say it's that simple, but that's kind of what we've been talking about. Go ahead and keep chucking those threes because it's worth more if you make them.
That is analytics at its finest, right? I mean, the Lakers are getting dominated in the paint, 34-18. At one point, it was 26-6, and the Lakers at that point were only down 2. So if you don't think the three-pointer is a major factor in today's game, you're fooling yourself.
Yeah. And LeBron is only – or Anthony Davis, rather, is 0-for-1. LeBron's hit 3 of them. Caldwell Pope's hit 3. Wesley Matthews has hit a couple. I mean, they're 10-for-20 from the arc. You shoot like that from three-point range, you can have a lot of problems everywhere else on the floor, and you can still get out of there with a win. The Bucks are out-rebounding the Lakers so far. It's close, 21-19, but it's that three-point shooting that is making the difference so far. And the fact that Giannis Antetokounmpo has 13 points, 7 rebounds, but no assists, Tony. I don't know that – he has 7 turnovers.
Yeah.
Antetokounmpo. That's awful for the league's most valuable player.
That's in the
player.
First half, by the way, too. By the
right.
First half numbers.
What is he doing out there? Hang on to the ball, will ya?
He's got 7 of the 9 turnovers for their team.
That's pathetic
he's
for
throwing
an MVP.
Elbows too.
What'd you say?
He's throwing elbows, too.
And he got a flagrant foul for throwing an elbow.
Yeah.
Antetokounmpo causing the Bucks havoc.
Let's get to break. We got the happy hour on the way. Gwen and Chris. Chris's fantabulous game show.
Bring
next.
It!
Uh-oh.
97.3, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.